Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
A professor of Italian at Bard College, Joseph Luzzi, was the fifth child of Pasquale and Yolanda Luzzi. In the 1950s, the couple moved their young family from Calabria, a historically underdeveloped region in the south of Italy, to the beachfront town of Westerly, Rhode Island. Joseph arrived the following decade, the first member of his family born in the United States. In his new book, My Two Italies, he writes about his conflicted relationship with his ancestors' homeland. As Luzzi made regular trips to Italy as a young man, he became a devoted student of the high culture and illustrious history of Florence and the North, which, as the American-born son of immigrants from the South, he felt both attracted to and excluded from. He writes about this in the new book, My Two Italies, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Joseph Luzzi to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. I was just telling Sarah LeDuc earlier, this is it's like slipping out of a dimension. I listen to you all the time, and now here I am talking to you in person.
Well, it's very nice to have you here, and we thank you for coming up and making the trip to talk about the book. At what point did you realize or think that there was a story to tell here about your Italy, about your parents' Italy, to put it into that perspective?
In a way, I've wanted to write the book for about 20 years or so, ever since I started graduate school in the mid-90s, when I went to get a PhD in Italian, and I studied Italian literature. And as you said, I studied the high culture of Northern writers, Florentine writers like Dante, and I spent a lot of time in Florence and was immersed in the kind of the Renaissance splendor of many of those cities. And yet at the same time, I felt this kind of gravitational pull to talk about my family's homeland, which was in southern Italy, and which was a completely different world from the one of books that I was kind of finding myself in. And so I was always struck by that contrast between this kind of folk immigrant world that I came from and the high culture that I was not just studying, but really going to make into a career. And the Italy that I got to know was that world attached to high culture because of teaching, because of research and travel. But, you know, my heart was always Calabrian. My parents immigrated from Italy in the 1950s. My mother and father never really learned to speak English properly. You know, our first language was this Calabrian dialect, a dialect really frozen in time because it's not really spoken in Italy anymore. You know, a lot of the language had become Americanized, and it certainly wasn't standard Italian. Mm. And, you know, growing up surrounded by these, the recipes, the folklore, the kind of ancient rituals of this Calabrian family, I thought, it was a fascinating contrast to the world that I was kind of that I was making a career out of. Now, I will say this, the desire was there for a long time, but, you know, I wasn't ready to write it for a lot of different reasons. I had to learn more about my chosen career and the fields I was studying. And I also had to kind of get a good perspective on having grown up in this Calabrian world. And the thing that really tipped it for me, that made it a kind of concrete reality, was the realization that the stories of my parents' generation were dying with the older people from that world that were also passing on. A lot of their world of Calabrian immigrants to Rhode Island, to the United States, were getting on in years. Many had passed on, including my father. And I realized that not just people were dying, but the memories associated with them, the words that they used, the way that they had of preparing dishes, the care that they took in kind of maintaining their garden, that these were so bound up with a particular culture that growing up I rejected. And I think that's the other reason why I wanted to write this book, is I felt connected neither to their world, because I was American, I was born in the United States, and I had a pretty typically all-American childhood in some ways. And yet, I also felt, as you mentioned earlier, kind of that Northern Italian world was not one of my family. So I felt perfectly poised between these two worlds, that I had enough immersion in each of them and yet enough detachment from them to be able to tell the story. And that's where the book was born.
In using that word detachment, in studying and in learning about Italy and Italian history and culture, did you immediately feel the disconnect and say, well, well, this is a lot different than what I grew up? Or is it that you that it takes time for that understanding to become fully present?
I think it was what was immediately clear to me was that there's not just one Italy. There's many Italies. I don't know the exact number, but I've heard that there's something approaching, you know, tens of millions of Italian Americans. It's a huge part of our culture in the United States. And yet there's Italian American culture, which has developed here. And then there's the famous attractions of Italy, you know, the beautiful cities, the art, the famous writers like Dante. But, you know, I quickly realized as I started to study that Italy is a collection of different regions, that there is no single. Italy was born late. As a nation, it was born in 1861. It was only recently unified. It's younger than the United States. And so this sort of the high culture that I was studying was really a distillation of centuries of different local cultures and different dialects and all the customs that go to these different parts of Italy. So what I realized is that my Italy, my Calabrian Italy of my parents, was just one of these many regional universes that so many different immigrant families have and that so many Italians living in Italy have. So it wasn't so much an awareness of a kind of detachment from official culture as an awareness of just how diverse and rich within Italy the kind of cultural fermentation has been.
I want to read a paragraph from the book, and you're writing about Florence, and it's in a chapter called Florence After Florence, and you've traveled there, and you write, "At times the city felt like a prostitute. Come and enjoy yourself, cash up front, no kissing. Other times a long-suffering mistress. If you really love me, you'd spend the holidays with me. Once, as the director of my college's study abroad program in Florence, I thought of moving my students to another city. Halfway through negotiations with a group from Parma, I stopped. I felt as if I were cheating on Florence, stuck at home with the kids while I sought a less prickly companion." and that perfectly distills how you're feeling of that thought that, okay, I want to do this because this is where I want to be, and yet I feel like perhaps I'm cheating.
Well, you know, a wise man once said to me, probably not the first time it's been said, he said, "Be careful of what you wish for. You just might get it."
Yeah.
And I desperately wanted to make Florence a part of my life. When I was an undergraduate, I said it in the book, my junior year abroad, it wasn't a program of study, it was a cry for help. You know, I was desperate to Florence represented everything that, you know, that when I was growing up, that I distanced myself from, the kind of the pepper and egg sandwiches in the cafeteria with the oil dripping onto the aluminum foil while the other kids had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The fact that my parents raised their own animals and what I imagine to be a more typical American home didn't do such things as, you know, have plucked chickens running around the yard. So it was that kind of Florence was this glamorous beacon. Of course it was overly romanticized, and of course the reality of it was nothing like I expected. If you've been there, you know it's a noisy, in its own way modern city that is not the Merchant and Ivory version. It's not the sort of soft-pedaled tourist version. So I got to Florence as an undergraduate, and I threw myself into it, and yet I found, even after 20, 25 years of visiting the city, that it was always kind of kept me at arm's length a little bit, even though I have, you know, a love-hate relationship. Hate's too strong a word. Let's say love and tension relationship, mostly love with the city, that the reality of what the city came to mean to me was nothing like that romanticized notion that I expected. And thank goodness, because it's a much more interesting relationship.
Does it help you respect and understand Collaborate more?
What it helps me respect and understand, and I would say the two greatest things that I learned in writing this book are, I actually started to write a book about contemporary Italy. I told you I had wanted to write the book for a long time. And then around 2012, Italy was having all the crises with Silvio Berlusconi. He had a dramatic resignation amid much controversy. And so Italy was all over the news. And I thought, well, here I am. I'm a professor of Italian. I'm a scholar, but I also write for the general public. I can tell this story. And so it started out as a kind of cultural history of Italy, looking backward from this troubled present. But the family narratives took over. And as I started to write, my readers that I showed the initial drafts were saying, we want to hear more about your father Pasquale. We want to hear more about your family. We want to hear more about, you know, the pigs that they slaughtered and things like that. And so that took a life of its own. As I always tell my students, you never want to end up writing something where you thought you would. You want it to take you somewhere new. Right. So the family narratives took over. And by the end of the book, I learned about my parents as people. None of us think of our parents really as humans. We think of them as machines to take care of us, right? And I realized my parents were these two people who gave up everything to come to the United States. And, you know, at one point I asked my mom about my dad, who was, as you know from the book, we had a difficult relationship. I loved him deeply. He was this kind of larger-than-life figure, but he was a very tough, demanding figure, and oftentimes unhappy and, you know, overwhelmed a little bit by raising six children and working two jobs. He was a factory worker. I think he was frustrated with the lack of, you know, work opportunities that he had. But my mom said, in Italy, your dad had been happy, carefree. And that just stunned me, because that's not an image. I'd seen him have a great time, but I never saw him carefree. And I realized that my parents had abandoned a life that they knew, as difficult as it was, and the people that they loved. And that's the feeling that I left the book, was a profound sense of awe and reverence for what my parents had given up for their children to build a new life. And that led to my second discovery, which I think the most important. It is about Italy, obviously, and it's about two Italies, a cultural Italy and a kind of immigrant Italy. Yeah. But I think it's about the American family. My story is only important insofar as it sheds light on this larger question of our understanding of this great country, Italy, and how an Italian family can become American. So many American families have their version of this story, no matter where you're from. So many immigrants. And I really hope that book's message comes through, that it may be about Italy, but it's about a family that comes to this country and has to do what it takes to make it. And that was really a kind of a profound understanding of me, of what it takes to live in exile, as my parents did, and live to kind of give up your life to build a new life for your family.
And that idea that you can study all of this, you can go to Yale, you can do all these incredible things, and yet you can learn so much just by asking your mom questions.
That's really well put. I think that for me, as a writer about Italy and someone who's a scholar and also now writing this book for general readers, what I realize is that sometimes a scholarly approach is not enough. In my chapter on Rome, I talked about Shelley, the great British poet, has a quote saying, Rome is a city of the dead. And in an academic piece, I kind of took him to task for that, saying, you know, it had over 100,000 people in the 1800s. What are you talking about? Well, that's not what Shelley was saying. He was talking about a spirit in the air. He was talking about the kind of heaviness, the monumentality of Rome, and how the past can crowd out the present. And I couldn't get to that insight if I were just approaching it merely from a kind of knowledge, rational point of view. You have to kind of, I had to live in Rome, I had to interview people there, I had to do the kind of work that it took to go into this book. And as you said, ask your mom. you know, talk to your mom and hear what she says. She's lived this. And that's the other thing that came through in my book, was my parents lived history. You know, they lived the experiences of war and the post-war, emigration and immigration. These are all historical things that it's not enough to study in a book.
The name again of the book is My Two Italies by Joseph Luzzi. Joseph will be at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, New York on July 19th. That's Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck. Again, the title of the book, My Two Italies. It is published by FSG. Joseph Luzzi, great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks, Joe. It's been a pleasure.
Best of luck with the book. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.